I'd like you to tell me about your home in Europe. Where did you live? What country, town, or village? Something to that
first
effect.
First, you want my age, don't you?
First of all, that is last,
it's
not first. So we'll begin this first. Just tell me, what type of home did you have in Europe? I mean, where did you live originally?
I lived in Transylvania. It was known Austria-Hungary, but it became Romania after the First World War.
And was that a little village or a town?
It was a small community, a small town.
And what type of house did you live in?
We had a brick house.
Can you remember, was it a two-story, a one-story?
It was a one-story.
One-story.
Yes.
And it was a small type of village.
Yeah, a small type of village.
Mm-hmm. All right, would you tell me about your family? That is your immediate family that lived in the house with you. How many brothers?
We were born and raised 12 children in the same home.
Oh, how wonderful.
7 boys and 5 girls.
7 brothers and 5 girls. And were the brothers older or younger?
Well, 5 of them were older and 9 next, and I had a younger brother.
And your sisters?
And I had 5 sisters. And they were all older than, with exception, 3 were older and 2 were younger than I.
All right. And how many of these are living?
Well, now let me see. We are still living 1, 2, 3, 4.
Four brothers?
Four brothers.
Four brothers are living?
Four brothers.
That's including yourself?
Yeah.
And how about your sisters?
My sisters, I don't remember anymore anyone living. Since Hitler came in, I think they all died.
How long did you live in the house that you remember?
All our lives. I lived
from
there
the time
until
you were born.
From the time I was born until 1929, when I came over to the United
States.
How
old were you at that 23 time?
23 years of age.
1923 you lived in?
1921. I left home.
And you were 23 years of age?
That is right.
What kind of work did you do? That is, while you were at home?
Well, I worked in the store. We had a general store and a farm, and we were all raised, born and raised. And then I worked for a brother of mine in a city until I left for the United States.
What city?
Called Bistritz. Bistritz in Hungarian and in Romania, Bistritza today.
And what languages were spoken in your
home?
We
spoke, in my hometown, we spoke 3 languages. Hungarian, German, Romanian, and of course Jewish.
What type of schooling did you have?
I had no schooling whatsoever. I was taught at home in my own house. We had teachers.
That came in.
That came in to taught us in our own home.
Mm-hmm. How far did you go as far as your learning was concerned? How many years did you have teachers?
Well, for instance, like we call it here in the United States, for 5 or 6 grades, because the war came along and that was it.
That ended it.
That ended it.
What type of synagogue did you have?
In my community, mm-hmm. we had no synagogue, but my father was an educated man. He was graduated in Pozsony, which is Czechoslovakia. And we had a Sefer Torah of our own. We had Megillahs of our own. So the people used to come to our home during the high holidays. Now in the city where I worked, we had a very large shul.
When you went to work for your brother?
For my brother, mm-hmm. in the city of Bistritz. In fact, when we had cantor down, we had a very fine rabbi and a cantor that was elected to the Vienna Opera.
Vienna Opera. He was that good.
He was that good.
Isn't that wonderful? Were what were your relations with the non-Jewish people in your community where you were born?
Well, we were friendly, but we were born and raised. We had the highest respect for us.
And you had a good relationship.
Yeah, we had a wonderful relationship with the people in our community. My father was an insurance man also, and he was the biggest taxpayer in the county.
And he was respected greatly.
Very highly respected. I had a sister, 5-6 years of age, walk on the street, and the people would take their heads up.
Did you belong or did you attend to any political organization?
No, I was too young.
What about your parents?
Well,
for instance, Zionist or socialist or labor union?
Well, in the city when I lived in Bistritz, we had a Zionist organization. And my father was a Republican in his times. And we had no organization of any kind in our small community. But in the city where I lived in Bistritz, I belonged to the Zionist organization and to some other local organizations.
What was your relationship of, what was the relationship of the government of your country to the Jewish people?
Well, before Romania came in to Transylvania, we were born, were known as the, we had more freedom, so to speak of, than any people perhaps in the world under Kaiser Franz Joseph. Then when Romania came in, took over after the First World War, our Jewish people in some communities were mistreated, but not to such extent as it was pogroms in Russia or in Poland. But being we were all in the army, we weren't afraid, and we talked back to them, and we made them know who we are or what we are, and we stand up for our rights.
Were you in the service, you mean?
Yeah, I was in the service.
Well, you had said you were working for a brother in the city.
After the war.
After the war, you worked for your brother
after
in the city. You
yeah.
were in the service
I
of
was
your
in the
country.
Service for near 3 years in the First World War.
In your hometown, from your hometown?
From my hometown.
I see.
And all of us, 7 brothers, we served.
And then you were discharged?
Well, the first time when I went to services, well, as you know, we fought against Russia and against Italy and against France because we were together with Germany. Well, I was stationed in Russia, and from there, about half a year or a year later, the brothers over to Italy and we fought an Italian front. And then 1918 in March, they took us to the French front, and I was there until the war came to an end.
I see. What did you think of America at this time?
Well, we were hoping when America came into Europe, to France, we were hoping that the war is going to come to an end because we were all exhausted. Allies in our country, and the first time in my life that when I served in France fighting with Germany, that before we retreated, I had a notion of giving myself up as a prisoner to the United States, hoping that the United States Army could capture me, that I would like to be captured by them and perhaps brought over to the United States.
Well, when you were discharged and you had worked and you, for your brother, then what made you leave the country in which you were born?
Well, as I was telling you before, we were free people under Austria-Hungary. And when Romania came in, we were not free people anymore. So 3 brothers, we decided to leave. And for that reason, we come to the United States.
That's understandable. Did you have a definite destination when you were coming?
Well, I come to New York City, and I had an uncle, one living relation and uncle in Alliance, Ohio. And a brother of mine, a year older than I am, he come first about a year before, and I come next.
And how long did you stay there?
In Alliance. In Ohio, I was there until 1924. I decided to come to Pittsburgh.
When you came, were you a part of a group or just with your three brothers?
No, I didn't come with no one. My brothers come ahead of me, and I come next, and then my youngest brother come after me.
When you came, did you come alone from your town?
I would come alone.
And how did you travel to come to America?
Well, when I left home, first we had to go to get our visas in Bucharest, because we couldn't go to Budapest anymore, because part of Romania.
How did you get there?
And I got there by train.
Uh-huh.
And I got my visa, and then I come back home. And when I left my home, saying goodbye to my parents and to my brothers and sisters, I come straight to the United States, to Czechoslovakia, to Germany, to crossing Belgium, to France, and crossing the English Channel. And I landed in London, because the ship I was taking was the Imperator called during that time. Later on it was renamed the Leviathan, the United States. And it left from Liverpool, England. Then we stopped in Sheffield, France, and from there we come straight across to the United States.
Who met you when you came here?
Nobody.
You docked in the United States alone?
Come alone. I had the money, and I left the ship, come over to New York City, and the highest, they got a hold of us, because it was hundreds and hundreds of immigrants. But I was only there a few days, and I stayed in New York City for 2 weeks. And then I left for Alliance, Ohio.
What did you bring with you from Europe? You brought money, you say?
I had some money, and I brought enough clothes with me that I didn't buy any clothes in the United States for nearly 3 years.
Is your name the same as it was in Europe?
Exactly. My first name and my last name. The only difference is that in Hungary, they used to call me Martin, M-O-R-T-O-N, and in German, they used to call us M-I-T-I-E-N, Martin.
But it actually comes out the same.
All the same, and I never changed one letter in my
name.
In fact, they call me, they spell my name F-I-E-L-D, and I always tell them it's F-E-L-D, long enough without putting it. See, it sounds German.
Yes.
And in German it spells F-I-E-L-D, and we spell it in Hungary, and in Romania, F-E-L-D, that was how I knew.
What was your first impression? What impressed you first when you got to the United States?
Well, truthfully speaking, to me, New York City was just another city. Nothing impressed me, because I went through practically every capital in Europe. Vienna, Budapest, Bucharest, Berlin, and all the European capitals, practically, so to speak of.
Well,
so it just looked like another city.
What first impressed you when you arrived in Pittsburgh?
Well, I tell you what, when I first...
Do you remember your first day
in
Pittsburgh and what it was like?
Well, Pittsburgh was an old-fashioned city when I came to the city of Pittsburgh. The only thing I was amazed when I left in the boat and I got into New York, I saw the colored people chewing gum. And I didn't know what it was, because we had no gum ever in Europe. And to us, it looked like a kettle. The kettles used to chew that way.
Well,
then I find out
that it was chewing gum.
Was a chewing gum.
What about when you came to Pittsburgh?
Well, when I came to Pittsburgh, I happened to know a family that I met once before visiting Pittsburgh, Francis, Mr. Francis, and I talked with him, and he gave me a job.
What was there anything that you the first day that you came into Pittsburgh that impressed you most, or what was it like?
Truthfully speaking, nothing attracted me. I like the city, I like the people, and I've been in the museum, as I told you. The first week I come to this country because I heard about Pittsburgh Museum as being the greatest. So not speaking a word English, I come to Pittsburgh.
You still came to see our famous museum.
Right.
Was there anything about life in the United States that disappointed you in your first 5 years of living here?
No, nothing disappointed me. I worked in Alliance, Ohio for the first 3-4 years. I was very highly respected in the community. In fact, I was known as the most outstanding, most respected young man in the community.
What type of work did you do?
I didn't have no trade, and I worked in a butcher shop in the market, and that was my trade.
Was there any point during the first 5 years when you felt unjustly treated because you were an immigrant?
No, the only experience I had the first year when I came over to this country in Alliance, Ohio, the Ku Klux Klan were in power. And being I worked in the market house, I saw the parade, and who doesn't go out to a parade? And in that parade, I recognized three men. Three men from their walk. And names I never knew, but faces I'll never forget. But those three men's name I remember all my life. One of them was Bill Brummenschenkel, and Jay Morrison, and Walter Klapsetter. And that happened in 1922. I recognized them, and I talked to them. They wouldn't answer me because they had their hoods on there. And I said to them, I'd be damned if I would belong to an organization that I have to cover my face. To any organization that I belong, I'd like to be proud of it. So that was it, and a couple of weeks later, they attacked me. They were going to kill the Jew. But I beat the living daylight out of them, and the whole city was up. But I come to a hearing down there, and they wanted to know who it was, and I never told them. And because I always felt I'm man enough, I was born and raised in a free country, and that was my adopted home. I willing to defend it with my own life.
You'll fight your own battles.
Anytime, all my life, I did.
Did you feel that you would accomplish what you came to Pittsburgh for, to the United States for, actually?
Well, so to speak of, I never had a goal. I was a free man. I felt free in the United States. I got my first paper the first week I was in this country. I became a citizen. And I was a free man, and the goal, I never had a goal, so to speak, up in my life. I was in business, I worked for a living, but to say that I have a certain goal, if I would have a little more schooling, I wanted to go to school. But being I was here and my money was running short, I had to depend upon myself and go to work.
And you made a good living.
I made a good living, I made a lot of good friends, a lot of nice people. And I really educated myself through my friends, so to speak of.
Where was your first home in this area? What was
this
it like?
Area, the first home, I lived in Homewood with Mrs. Francis' mother, that was Judge Henry Allen Boone's mother. And I worked in East Liberty. That was the first home I ever lived in.
How long did you live there?
Oh, for about... pretty close to a year.
And then, did they have a house or an apartment?
Yeah, they have
what?
A beautiful home in Meat Street. During the time, it was a nice neighborhood.
How did you get your training for your work that you went into when you came here?
From the people I worked for.
You watched them and
I
you
watched them and I
actually
worked.
On your own.
I had a lot of help from Gentile man, a Hungarian, American born.
How much did you earn?
Well, I started off with $15 a week, and I worked 16 and 18 hours a day. For about 5 or 6 months, In less than 9 months, I made $45 a week.
That was big money in those days.
Well, I did produce, but I did more work than two men. I was honest, and I worked for the man who paid me.
You worked for someone?
Yeah.
Did you work on Saturdays and Jewish holidays?
Yeah. Not Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, I never worked. That's what the holidays.
On Saturdays you had to work?
Oh, yes.
And how long did you remain at this work?
Oh, I've been all my life. That remained to be my
profession. Your trade.
My trade.
Did you belong to any kind of trade union?
Yes, at the beginning I belonged to AFFL. We had a union.
You did have
at
a union.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Do you feel that if you could live this part of your life over again, what kind of work would you go into?
Well, I was always told no one ever took me for a picture until this day, and certainly if I would know what I knew today, I could have picked almost any other kind of profession.
That's having lived many years and self-schooled yourself. In other words, the type of schooling you had in Pittsburgh was truly on your job.
On my job.
Actually, on your job training.
My job training. I never went to school. I didn't have a chance to go to school. Only for a short while. In Alliance, Ohio, for a few weeks. Then I went to.
You tried to learn to speak English?
Yes.
Is that it? And to write English there?
And in fact, it wasn't. It was a class, a mechanical drawing class from Morgan Engineering Company. They were all college graduates and high school graduates. And I happened to know the principal and the superintendent. They used to deal in the market house. And as a young man, they liked me.
They invited
me to attend school, and I come into school, and I said to Mr. Anderson, he was the principal. Mr. Anderson, he spoke 10 different languages. He was counselor in many countries. So I spoke to him in German. I couldn't speak much English. And I said, Mr. Anderson, what can I learn I don't understand? So he says to me, you come into class, and I'll give you lessons, give you something to do. And he said, whatever you hear in this class of ours, I'll come back to you years later, which is so true. Things that I have seen and heard come back to me 10 years or 15 years later.
Did you like music at the time?
I love music. I love music all my life. Wonderful music, perhaps I wouldn't be living, because when we retreated from France, Germany was retreating from Belgium, and they wouldn't give us no trains. So we had to march back all the way through Alsace-Lorraine, the Rhine, the Ruhr, Württemberg, Baden, Bayern, Pfalz, until we got to the Austrian-Hungarian border. We finally got trains to go home. By that time, Hungary was already a republic, and when I got into Romania, Romania was not.
Did you play a musical instrument by any
chance? Never
did.
Never did.
Did you like to go to concerts and
the
opera?
Oh, I'd love to go. No, what I was going, I like it until this day, music. What I was going to say, I happen to be fortunate. I belong to a signal called Telephone Children Feast. And we had a band with us, and I was the first, and I mean, you were the first. And for that reason, the music was playing all the way through every so often, and we always kept intact, so I never got so tired to be willing to die. But some of the soldiers
walked in.
When
strength.
You're the first one, you walk, you're always working intact. When you're in the back in third or fourth company, then it's terrible.
It
with a pack of 40 or 50 pound, 250 live ammunition, and a 7.5 pound rifle. Mm-hmm. And for 2 or 3 weeks that we marched through, we lived on water and flour until we finally got there. In many places in the German towns, we got very little food.
Well, the music helped you.
The music is the one brought me back alive.
Thank God.
And I love music until this day.
Did you go to the Yiddish theater or any theaters when you were here in Pittsburgh?
never went to Yiddish theater. I went to see a Yiddish show.
Yes.
But I never knew there was such a thing as a Yiddish theater.
Oh, you didn't?
No.
How about lectures? Did you attend lectures at that time?
Yeah, I expect many times lectures here and there.
Where? Where did you recall where you were able to attend?
Wherever I could attend.
Wherever they had?
Wherever they had it.
Did you go to public libraries in Pittsburgh?
Yeah.
You utilized their services?
I utilized their services and I got...
Whereabouts in Pittsburgh? The one in Oakland?
Yeah, one in Oakland.
That's the one you liked?
Yeah.
What Pittsburgh newspapers did you read?
Well, the first time when you used to have the morning's paper, I used to like to read the morning paper, still the Post Gazette or whatever the name was. Then from that time on, when I didn't have the time to read the morning's paper, I always got the Pittsburgh Press until this day.
You did, as far as Gentile associates, did you see them socially?
Never socially.
You mixed mostly with the Jewish population?
With the Jewish population, only in business.
Well, in other words, you didn't go to cheder here because
you didn't go to school
because you were a young man.
I was a young grown-up person.
When you came to the United States, did you think of yourself as a religious person?
No, that is one thing I never considered myself. I was born and raised in Orthodox, but after the war, what we went through the war, the hardship and the misery, religion really didn't mean any much to me. I respect religion, I belong to congregation, and for the sake, after I got married, for the sake of my family, more than for myself. But I respected the holidays and I respect my religion. I'm proud of.
What synagogue did you attend here in Pittsburgh?
I went to the Tree of Life Synagogue in East End. I used to know Rabbi
Lichter.
Lichter. And
how did you go regularly, like let's say to Friday night services?
No, never, because I worked and never had a chance.
But you went on Rosh Hashanah and
Rosh Hashanah and Kippur, during the holidays.
Had an Orthodox home, or would you say a conservative home?
Well, my wife was an American, born, and her father was a socialist. And he was a friend of Norman Thomas. And his kids never believed in religion. My mother-in-law was a religious woman, and I always went to shul, no matter where I lived. I lived in Beaver Falls. We had a shul of our own. Then we had a Reformed temple. We overnight, the Reformed temple belonged to both.
Did you experience any change in your health due to the climate here or the food when you first came?
Never.
Never?
Nothing,
it didn't bother you?
Nothing bothered me. No.
Where did you go for medical care in Pittsburgh?
Well, truthfully speaking, I have never been going to a doctor until the last 10 years. I was healthy. And the only man I ever went to, I had a rash, and I went to Dr. Amschel in Square Hill, here in the United.
That would be his son who is now following his
footsteps. Well, no, it was the father.
That's what I say, this is his son. Now,
right.
You went to his father.
I went to his father.
The present doctor.
The only doctor I ever went to. I was healthy, always good health, I eat good, worked hard, but I took care of myself.
And that's perfectly all right. I want to hear what you're saying.
Until 1936, I got married in Washington, D.C., and I lived with my wife for 30 years. I had two beautiful daughters, wonderful daughters, and we married well, thanks God, and that's all I was.
I wanted to know what your first organization is that you belong to.
B'nai B'rit, I belong ever since I've come to this country, 1921.
And the synagogue attended to was Tree of Life, you said, mainly.
When I first came here.
Mm-hmm, that's
but
what
I lived in Lyon, I mean, I lived in Beaver Falls.
Well, I meant in Pittsburgh.
In Pittsburgh
was the Tree of Life.
Yeah.
Did you belong to any organizations that were set up to give charity? That is, did any of these organizations that you know of give charity, and did they give out boxes like Pishkas to save money?
I got married.
That was after.
That was it, yeah.
Well, how long were you in Pittsburgh? Where did you go to have a good time?
You mean before I got married or after I got married?
In the first 5 years of your life in Pittsburgh.
Right here.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I had a lot of boyfriends, and we used to go out to nightclubs, and we used to go to dances.
Did you participate in any sports, or did you attend sporting events?
Yes. I started to like baseball and also football, being I played soccer before I came over to this country.
Did you play when you went to these games?
No.
Were you a spectator?
Just a spectator.
Did you know of the YMCA when you came to Pittsburgh?
Yes. In fact, I belonged to it in East Liberty, YMCA.
Were there any other non-Jewish agencies that helped you to adjust to the living in Pittsburgh?
Never, no one.
You didn't feel a necessity?
No, sir.
Were there any local meeting places, that is, like cafes, or political parties, or that you went?
Never. I'm only during an election many times for a lecture or for... I used to go to listen to you.
How did you meet people during the first 5 years of your... Now, hold it.